Reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, everyone mute their phone, please. Okay. Reading from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 23, text 100. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Emati Pansandira Valge Sadayai Pratidina Nagariya Gane Krishna Gai. In this way, the atheist always criticized, while the inhabitants of Navadvip daily sang the glories of Krishna. Can't find my notes, but I did read it this morning. My inspiration always is like the Chaitanya Bhagavat is like a Google map that not only focuses on a place, but can go back in time. And we're getting to see the Sankirtan movement as it's begun. This is the Madhya Lila. Lord Chaitanya has come back from initiation, a transformed person. We discussed that. Commitment changes consciousness. And this type of commitment to the absolute truth is not just an intellectual thing. It's like a plug. It's a connection. It's a channel to God's loving potency. Sharanagati, surrender, is the gateway to bhakti. You open your heart to the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is that there is a truth, and that truth is meant to be served. And when you serve that truth, then God gives you his loving potency for his service, because ultimate service is love. All other things are vehicles for love. Without love, they have no purpose. I just read something. A story that Prithu Prabhu told with Prabhupada. And he was in charge of maybe temple commander managing when Prabhupada came to Schloss Retzhof. There's a big castle they had. It was in Germany. It was amazing, actually speaking. Through my lifetime, I can see the standard of living going down. I remember my brother was, before he got his government job, he was driving a taxi, but he could live, you know, he had his own apartment. Who has their own apartment in Manhattan now? And then he bought a, you know, then he got his government job and he bought a house in Brooklyn. Who does that now? And my father had a modest job. My mother didn't have to work. Who does that now? So it used to be that, you know, even though the devotees with Prabhupada collected a bunch of hippies and they sold books, they were able to buy properties all over the world. The same properties we have now in Washington, D.C., 23 acres in Potomac, one of the richest neighborhoods in the world. What's Seeker Avenue in in Los Angeles, the Bhaktivedanta Manor. I mean, just you can go on and on. And in New York, we had 55th Street. We had a skyscraper. So Prabhupada came into the room. Prithu, I was in Prithu. Prabhu had a magnified, a board of magnets with each devotee's names and the different departments, and he could move the magnets. And Prabhupada was so fascinated. He said, yeah, let me see how it works. And Prabhupada moved one boy and he asked them about it. And this went on. Prabhupada was so interested in how the whole thing worked. And then he turned to him. Without loving relationships, the whole thing is useless. The world, bhakti, everything, it's love makes the world go round. So we do things for that purpose. And it's the same thing with kirtan. It's not the melody. It's not the tal, but it's the discipline of music that is a facility to communicate the bhava or love of Godhead. So we had that Google map and we saw Lord Chaitanya's kirtans. We cannot imagine how we would feel. We should hanker for that, to join that type of sankirtan. So we're basically seeing it and different aspects. One aspect is the intimacy of it initially. The beginning of the sankirtan movement was when the devotees came together intimately and revealed their hearts. And Advaitacharya and Gadadhar was swinging around, and Advaitacharya was roaring like a lion, and devotees were fainting, and Lord Chaitanya having ecstatic symptoms. And they were really revealing their hearts in a way that they could not do if people who were from the outside came and who would pass judgment on it according to their own frame of reference as sentimental or something. It's just natural psychology, which is even more in bhakti, because the rasa doesn't come to its height unless there is a unity of mind and understanding of the audience. So then we had the story of one Brahmin coming in. I remember that story was there. And we remember it, even though he had all these qualities, Parama, sadhu, very saintly, nirdosh, without any qualities, tapasvi, austere. And somehow, Srivas Thakur, it was his house, he was keeping people out on Lord Chaitanya's order. Then, so like, well, nothing can be wrong with this person, but I don't want to disturb Lord Chaitanya, hide in the corner. And then Lord Chaitanya, after a while, the kirtan wouldn't go. He understood that there was a mind that was projecting on it in a material way, was looking at it and couldn't see beyond the prejudice of just music and wildness and dance and whatever it is. And then let's retire again. Oh, someone's here, somebody. And Srivast Thakur are trying to hide his teeth. No, there's only one saintly person here. He's so saintly, he doesn't eat rice, he only takes milk. Lord Chaitanya said, and the point was, the only qualification is devotion. And he put his hand, not just drinking milk. It's just like if someone came to your door that you didn't know, why would you let them in your house? Because they had a lot of money, because they were handsome or beautiful. Why would you trust them? Why would you give them intimacy? Only if they had a relationship with you, which is called devotion. And this person immediately left, but said, I'm an aparadhi. I came in there and looked at it in a mundane way. And Lord Chaitanya read his heart. Only a devotee can accept the chastisement from God. This person is qualified. And he gave him mercy and jai, jai, and everybody danced in ecstasy. And then Lord Chaitanya, you know, people still wanted to get in. And some people were kind of pious and they were blaming the atheists. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, it's not just piety, it's devotion. The intimacy is devotion, not just any piety. Not just that, oh, only, no, swajitiya, the like-mindedness in Lord Chaitanya's movement. And then, but Lord Chaitanya, during the day, people would come to his house and he'd give them instructions. So what I want to do today, just the beginning, it certainly won't be the whole class, but I'd like to do this today, is I'm going to go back a few verses, and you can imagine that you were in Lord Chaitanya's house. You visited him. You were pious enough to do that. And this is what he told you. So take this as these instructions were for yourself, coming directly from Lord Chaitanya. And what he told devotees. So it's not like a Google map. It's time travel. And you were all there. And you're in Lord Chaitanya's house, and this is what he tells you. So every morning the inhabitants, they went to see Lord Chaitanya. They brought some gifts. That's the culture. A banana, some flowers, etc. Some ghee, yogurt, you know, just... Again, vehicles for love. Then they offered obeisance to you pay obeisances, so you're going to mind, you'll be paying obeisances. And this is what Lord Chaitanya says to you. May you all attain devotional service to Krishna. Do not speak anything other than the names and qualities of Krishna. Hear the Hare Krishna mantra and be happy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then that's what Lord Chaitanya did. He just repeated the Maha mantra to you. You heard it from Lord Chaitanya directly. This is the Maha Mantra. All of you go and chant this mantra according to prescribed numbers. Number. So It's important. Vow to do it. So that you're not just doing the activity out of a like and dislike that can vary according to the weather. By doing so, everyone will attain perfection. Always chant, there is no other prescription. 5 to 10 people can sit together in house and perform kirtan while clapping their hands. So you have a prescribed number, and then you can get together with your friends and just, you should chant. Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govindaram Simadusudan. Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govindaram Simadusudan. Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govindaram Simadusudan. These are my instructions on how to perform Sankirtan. Go home and chant together with your wife, father, and sons. So everybody there became jubilant. They offered a basin, they returned to their homes, and they engaged their bodies and minds by constantly chanting the names of Krishna and meditating on the Lord's lotus feet. In the evening, they gathered in their homes and performed Sankirtan while clasping their hands. In this way, the son of Sachi inaugurated chanting the holy name from village to village. The Lord stood up, embraced each one of them, and offered garlands to them. With straw between his teeth, the Lord appealed to them, "Oh, brothers, worship Krishna day and night." They all cried on seeing the Lord's anxiety. They then engaged in their process of Sankirtan with their bodies, mind, and speech. But as soon as they got home, they went on Facebook to check their accounts and then Instagram. And they spent hours there instead of chanting the holy name. Okay, let me go on to the next part of it. Of course, joking. Okay, and anyway, then it describes that everyone was chanting, and then this great devotee, Kolavacha Sridhar, this great devotee, Kolavacha Sridhar, was chanting. And two things happened when he's chanting, because he really was humble and he really had bhav. And when he was chanting, and two things happened. One, it was very, very attractive. And people started to come around. But he couldn't control his ecstasy. And again, the materialist couldn't understand it. And they began to criticize him. In so many ways. So there... The atheists were criticizing, and some people were chanting the Lord's glories. So now we'll go into the next story. One day by providence, the Kazi walked down the road and heard the sound of Madunga, kartals, and conch shells. So the Qazi is the Muslim ruler. When the Qazi heard the loud vibration of the Lord's holy name in four directions, he immediately remembered his own scriptures. So, I don't know why. Anyway, the purport says, at least in the culture of India, you know, the instruments are included in the shastra. I don't know the Quran because I also heard some beautiful, at least Sufi kirtans, etc. So I'm not really sure the purport of that verse. I'm going to go on. The Qazi said, catch them, catch them. I will take action. Let us see what your teacher Nimai did. So Lord Chaitanya went out and people were doing what he said and they were chanting. There was a kirtan revolution. The townspeople quickly ran away out of fear. They'd not even tie their hair. The Qazi beat whoever he caught. He broke the Madanga and created havoc in that place. The Qazi said the entire Nadia had been overrun by Hindus. When I catch them, I'll punish them. So the rulers, you know, good rulers, it's, you don't, oppressive rulers don't necessarily, depending on their power, immediately stop everyone, even from another religion or et cetera. As long as they're not causing social disturbance or spreading their cult, they sometimes leave them alone rather than create antagonism. So there was a fine line here. But this seems to have crossed the line. And when it crossed the line, then people take action. I remember I was with Tamal Krishnamurti where there was that Chinese revolution at Tinahan Square. It's a famous thing. There's one Chinese, you know, protester and a tank is coming and he's standing there. And it was a really big thing. And Tamal Krishnamurti, who's very wise, told me, these people are finished. In these countries, you don't insult your elders. You know, that's it. So it's up to a line. And when the line is crossed, because whenever you use force, it may create antagonism. So there's a fine line. When the line is crossed, then the government may step in. They don't just step in so easy, even in this. So he says, now this was too much and the Qazi is taking. It is night now, so I will excuse today, but if I catch you again, I will take away your caste. I really, really can't figure it out, but you know, these smarta Brahmins, they had such rituals. That they can be contaminated in very easy ways. I don't know, but they can be forced conversion. Let's put it that way. They could be forced conversion. He says, I'm leaving you alone. I'm letting you do your religion as long as you're inside. Just like in Dubai, there's many devotees with many devotee programs. As long as it is inside. Also in the Soviet Union, they recently passed rules against Sankirtan. In other words, you want to worship inside. They don't want the spreading of religion because the people will accept a higher authority than theirs in the government. In this way, the Qazi and his sinful followers daily wandered about the town looking for kirtan. So now they were looking, and the devotees had to hide. In distress, the townspeople remained hidden while the Qazi went about beating and chastising Hindus. So you set an example and you strike fear into others. Someone said one should chant the name Hari in one's mind. Which Purana recommends boisterous chanting? So the atheists and some of the smarter Brahmins, they didn't want it to disturb. So they kind of took the side of the Chankazi, the king, or the magistrate, and then criticized, where is this loud chanting? Where is this loud chanting by musical instruments like that? Religion should be sober, not emotional. Of course, you can imagine singing and dancing publicly. Where is that coming from? Is that coming from the Bodhi, intelligence? This is what we do. Is it coming from the soul, that sense of love of God, or is this passion? So the atheists wanted to obstruct, and now they took the side of Chankazi, and as they say in English, politics makes strange bedfellows. This is the punishment for one who transgresses the Vedic injunctions. These fellows are not even concerned about their caste. So they're saying the Chankazi is just an instrument because they're transgressing Vedic injunctions. What is this sentimental type of religion? How is this religion? So they think this is just something introduced and they're fit to be punished. Now, and that's what they're saying, these people who are against him, now Nimai's pride will be smashed by the Qazi. Because if these things which Nimai Pandit introduced, if he introduced this chanting and hearing, now his pride, the Chankazi himself will smash it. The happiness of Nityananda, who freely wanders around the town, will soon come to an end. So they're also disturbed about Nityananda, who's just an avadut. You know, he's just completely in ecstasy. And he's not cognizant of the outside and what it may look to someone who doesn't understand the source of what he's doing. And therefore conjectures that this is just the ego. Like sometimes you go on Sankirtan and someone would dance in a way, and sometimes you'd feel embarrassed. This devotee is just, it's just a manifestation of ego. How will it look? So the people thought with Nityananda, they didn't understand that it was really genuine. The ecstasy of Nityananda, that Nityananda relishes from Nagar Kirtan, Nagar means around the city, will vanish one day he receives appropriate punishment. So this is envy. Forgiveness comes from the word Shema. The root means to tolerate. So what is forgiveness? When you tolerate and you don't wish ill, you tolerate and you don't wish ill. The opposite of forgiveness is resentment, where you don't tolerate and you wish ill. And that's also akin to envy, where you don't like something and you wish ill. So these people are very envious, even though they're Brahmins and whatever, even though they may follow Shastra, their hearts are not clean. Icha dvesha samutena. We're born into this world overcome with the dualities of desire and hate. So there's so much envy. We can see that of Lord Chaitanya. He's a very charismatic person. He's attracting people. And then he does kirtan and people are in ecstasy. And then they become threatened themselves. They become threatened themselves when they see something that challenges their own religious practice, when they see something else that's working. Human psychology is so born into this world of desire and hate. They call us atheists for speaking the truth. All glories to Nadia, which is filled with so much hypocrisy. Out of fear, the devotees did not reply. They went to the Lord and explained everything to him. Out of fear of the Qazi, we do not perform kirtan anymore. The Qazi wanders about with thousands of followers. We will leave Navadvip and go elsewhere. We submit these two concerns at your feet. When Vishwanbhar heard about the impediments to kirtan, he became like Rudra, or Lord Shiva, with anger. So anger is also there in Krishna consciousness when anger is a product of love. When some blasphemes the Supreme Lord or his devotees, or harms them, then anger is natural out of love. Just like a mother has a little child and someone does something, abuses the child, the mother's angry. Where is that anger coming from? It's coming from love. So anger can also be used in Krishna consciousness. If the object of your anger is connected with love. The son of Sachi roared loudly, and the inhabitants covered their ears and chanted the names of Hari. The Lord said, "O Nityananda, get ready and go quickly to call all the Vaishnavas. Today I will perform kirtan throughout Navadvip. Let me see what anyone can do." As Prabhupada said, this was the first instance of civil disobedience, where you break an unjust law Because the law is oppressive. And this is very interesting how the Sankirtan movement begins, because it shows you, because initially Lord Chaitanya is bringing the devotees together. But it creates centrifugal, or I don't know, it creates a force, a combustible force, and boom, it spreads. That's how Krishna consciousness spreads. If you just go out without going in, it just doesn't work. You have to come together, create community, exchange Krishna consciousness deeply, and then by spiritual impetus, it will spread. Even there's a verse in the Prabhupada gives a purport in the Bhagavatam. And usually what you think is you preach Krishna consciousness and you purify yourself. And after purifying yourself, then your eternal relationship will evolve. And that's also a very legitimate conception of Krishna consciousness. I know, and I'm in contact with very, very close God brothers that have Raghunuga Bhakti. They have such deep, legitimate, honest meditations on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I'm intimate. They share with me. It's rare. But I have connections like this. And it's astounding when they share their realizations with me. One just wrote me a letter, a good friend. And it's astounding, you know, and encouraging me in my own bhajan. But these same people, they go out and they make sure to go out and preach Krishna consciousness and sacrifice their lives to spreading Krishna consciousness to develop the, get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya for their internal development. It's not disconnected. Narottam Das Thakur says that when you dive deep into the Sankirtan ocean of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you wind up at the shore of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. But Prabhupada also says, after developing your relationship with Krishna, by spiritual impetus, you preach and share it. So that's what's happening here. The devotees intimately developing their deep relationship with Krishna and each other's. And then the Chankazi comes and breaks the Madanga. And Lord Chaitanya says, we're going out. So that's the external cause for going out, is that Chankazi broke the Madanga. That's the external cause. But the internal cause is the devotees have shared Krishna consciousness so deeply that there's a spiritual impetus to bring it to the world. Just remember, before Prabhupada came to Vrindavan, came to the West, he was living in Vrindavan for so many years in the Radha Damodar Mandir, which is Seva Kunj. If you go in Vrindavan, I think most of you there, not everybody's been there. If I look at the list, okay, some have not, most have been there. But there's many temples, and one temple is the Radha Damodar. And the six Goswamis, they established seven major temples. But when the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, the six main followers of Lord Chaitanya, who he sent to Vrindavan to excavate the holy places and establish Krishna consciousness, When they went to Vrindavan, they met in Radha Damodar to make plans to share this around the world. So it's interesting. And what is Radha Damodar? It's right in the middle of Sevakunj. And what is Sevakunj? It's the place where Radha and Krishna would meet every day to plan their seva, or the service. Radha would go there to plan the service. And where does Srila Prabhupada wind up by transcendental arrangement? You make a plan, I want to go to Radha Damodar, but Radha Damodar, where he would sit in his room and look out at the samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami and get so much inspiration. So that example of spiritual impetus is there also with Prabhupada. Writing and chanting and Radha Damodar. So Lord Chaitanya now has that. Today we will burn the Kazi's house. Let me see what even his king could do. Today I will shower an incessant rain of pure devotional service. Today the atheists will face their ultimate fate. O brothers, O residents of Navadvip, go everywhere and announce my order. Everyone who desires to see Krishna's mystic potency should come with a big torch. Today I will break the Kazi's house and perform kirtan at his doorstep. Let me see what he can do. Innumerable universes are servants of my servants. What fear can manifest when I am personally present? No one should have the slightest fear at heart. Come in the afternoon, right after you eat lunch. As all the residents left to get ready, their hairs on their bodies stood on end. What need did they have of eating? They're in ecstasy. The news spread from house to house. Nimai will dance today through the streets of Navadvip. Millions of residents have lamented that they've been unable to see the Lord's dancing. So remember, people wanted to get in. And some of them had a piety. I wanted to see the Lord's dancing. And one of them said, yes, one day we will see it. So it's interesting how Krishna hears people's hearts and then fulfills their desires, spiritual desires in town. And there was no WhatsApp messages. You know, and I think we had a festival for Vrindakund in Nandagram. And we're going to feed all the residents of Nandagram. Feed all the residents of Nandagram and it was the first pure ghee feast in 50 years. So how did they inform all the residents of Nandagram? On the top of the temple, there was a town caller and he would just yell out, tomorrow, call, Mahotsava, Barabhaji, Shuddha, Ghee, Basad. And he just goes and boom, one person tells another, and within an hour, everybody in the town knows. Now that he danced through the streets of Navadvip, the people of each and every house joyfully prepared their torches. Even if the father prepared a torch, the son also prepared one. In their ecstasy, no one can restrict anyone. Everyone competed to make the biggest torch. They then filled large pots with oil to take with them. Countless millions of people lived in Navadvip. Who can count the number of torches they made? Meanwhile, those who had the resources arranged for thousands of torches to take along. The entire Navadvip became filled with torches. The happiness of the women, children, and the elderly persons increased unlimitedly. Can anyone other than Krishna have such potency? Still, the sinful people were not able to understand. Simply by the Lord's order, people from all over Navadvip came before him with torches in his hand. So Navadvip means nine islands. It's not just the town of Navadvip. So villages were all around. When the Vaishnavas heard about this, they immediately came. Then the son of Sachi instructed everyone. It describes how he organized the kirtan. And that's going to be really interesting to describe. Now, if anyone would like to share any realization they had, some yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Okay.
Hare Bol Jamuna, please go for it.
No, you go. You go, Rajasthan.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for a wonderful class. I liked one point which you made about love, and I also have one question, if that's all right. So I really like when you said at the beginning that the ultimate service is love, and everything else is just a vehicle for love. And I like how Srila Prabhupada said that without loving relationships, everything is useless. And I have one, maybe a little bit strange question, basic one. When Lord Chaitanya was giving the instructions to the people who were in his house, he said, hear and chant the names of Krishna and be happy. Could you define actually what happiness is? How would you define the happiness?
Well, you know, love is happiness. What is happiness? Happiness is the essence. Ladini Shakti is happiness, right? The essence of Ladini Shakti is Krishna Prem. It's love. And love is that intense feeling you get upon the pleasure of someone else. But when you discuss actually what bhakti is, it's many things. It's a practice, right? Bhakti is a practice. Bhakti is also an energy of God. So happiness is a very, very general term. So I guess chant and be happy. There's a certain level of happiness one could get just from the sense of seva or service. And then the highest level of happiness is the energy of God, which is in your heart, which is his own internal potency. That's real happiness. That's the highest happiness. So Lord Chaitanya, I mean, when you say a term called chant and be happy, I always joke, you know, they say chant and be happy, but they don't tell you the distance between chant and be happy. So, you know, there's chant and be happy, but it means, yeah, that's what happiness is. Happiness is pure selflessness. Happy is the soul. Happy is when you transcend that conception where you, what's the opposite of love? Narcissistic. What is narcissistic? When you see the world according to your own desires. There's a book by a German sociologist called Erich Fromm. And he talked about this. Love, which is happiness, is the opposite of narcissistic. And narcissist, I see the world according to our desires. So the first platform of happiness is stepping out of the center. Because you never feel love on the platform of ego. And then I think there's different degrees of happiness. But the first sense of happiness is just when you actually have some bandha gyan, you understand your relationship with Krishna, and you move out of the center. It's just like when you go to Radhakund and you first pray to Dameshwar. It's the presiding deity of the false ego. Why? Because if you think you're the center, you can't see who is. The whole Bhagavatam, when you hear the Bhagavatam, what's happening? You're becoming attracted to God. And when you develop affection for someone, you put them and their desires in the center. And then you're happy to be on the periphery. But it's not just moving your body, it's moving your consciousness. And when you move your consciousness fully to that conception that I want to serve, along the way, you're going to feel relief. You're going to feel happiness just by the fact that you serve, right? Just that we describe that. If you have anxiety, what's the one thing you can do when you have anxiety? Vaisheshguru gives this example. Turn on the switch of service. Because the anxiety is that egotistical, narcissistic consciousness. So that's on the mental plane, move out of the center. What a relief, service. You know, you really want to be happy? Do you want to eat the feast or serve the feast? Right? What's the real happiness? Of course, you can eat and also serve prasadam, serve in a mood of service. But when that consciousness grows, and that intense desire in your heart, you'll feel increasing relief as you develop the seva bhav, the desire to serve in your heart. That's because you'll start to feel your soul. You'll start to live in the soul, which is the purpose of yoga, that mood of service. And there are other feelings that come that are also happiness, gratitude. That's also moving out of the center, compassion. It's all this shift of consciousness, but it'll get to such a point that the voice in the heart to serve, to really serve, will become so intense that God will give you his own energy of love that will... your consciousness will become one with that. You'll feel God's energy. You'll have God's happiness potency, which is called Bhakti Anand. What's happiness? It's God's energy. It's love. And when he puts that in our hearts, then we feel it. One saint described in an indirect way, but I was picking up on it when I was listening to him, when he experienced Baba. And he described in a very interesting way. He called it transcendental knowledge, which is Divya Gyan. It also means divine consciousness. And he said, I was the subject and I saw everything as the object. He said, then I became the object. And then he said, then I was captured. And what does captured mean? You're in divine love. And when you're in divine love, then what happens is you are just moving according to the desire of God. You've lost your own movement. So it's a whole progression. And the process is the holy name. And these are associates of Lord Chaitanya. They're 500 years ago. They live in Navadvipa. They seem to be able to do what we can't do so easily. They heard Lord Chaitanya's instructions and then they surrendered. What you want, I will do. Both their hands were up in the air and they surrendered to Lord Chaitanya fully. And that happens, and we have glimpses of it. But to the extent that we're in this ego consciousness, to the extent that we actually don't surrender to Krishna, will still have the covering of the false ego that's kind of filtering the energy of connection between God, which is happiness. I give the example of a cow and a calf. There's an energy of love, and that's happiness. You see a cow and a calf, when a calf is born, it's happiness. So we have that same connection with God, and it's happiness. So the extent that we have this egotistical conception and life of independence, then it blocks that the rays of that energy of happiness. Mm-hmm. But when Lord Chaitanya said, chant and be happy, yeah. And do it all the time, yeah. Okay?
Thank you. Wonderful answer. Thank you very much, okay. Maharaj. Thank you.
Jibra Jaya.
Hey, Krishna Maharaj. Well, now I have much more to reflect on because that was awesome. But originally what I was going to say is I love the your little branding line as the truth is that there is truth. I love that. The truth is that there is truth.
The truth is what?
He said the truth is that there is a truth.
Yeah, I kind of, you know, Jamuna Jai, when I said that, I kind of liked it. The truth is that there is a truth. Mm. And what's happening today and happening in America a lot is that people are rebelling against truth. Then all of a sudden, there's no morality. The morality is what I do that gains power, whether I'm in power or I want to remove power. And then you redefine, well, okay, all of a sudden now I can loot and it's truth. There's no thou shalt not steal anymore. No, we have a new set of, it's relative now. Now to this extent, now all of a sudden something that normally would not be, it's okay. And then this becomes okay. And then, you know, people in power, this becomes okay. There's a rebellion actually against truth, that there actually are values, and those values should guide society, not power. Either having the power or trying to take it away. And that defines my morality. No. There is a God and there are truths. So the first truth is that there is a truth. And it's being threatened in today's world. Okay, good. Anybody else? Okay. We can end up with just people saying hello. Hi, Bo.
Hi, Krishna. Hi, Krishna.
Hi, wait, I'm seeing Sudama now. Then Hare I'm Krishna. Seeing Surya Radhika. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Wow, great.
Thank you so much. It was a great class.
I'm very happy you're at all the classes. I like that.
Thank you. Thank you
very
so much
for
your classes.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh. Very good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo. We'll see you. See you soon.
Oh, okay.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think Monday, Don Kaley's going to drive me back to New Jersey.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great.
Okay. Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Narum Saki here.
Oh, wow. I feel like I'm in your country, and that gives me great joy. Wow.
It will happen. It will happen, Guru Maharaj. I'm sure.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, Siddheshri, Haribo, good.
Nice to see you, Maharaj.
I'm so happy to be with all the people here. This is the best I can do right now. But it's something, you know? And the community, I see all my favorite people from there. It's great. Thank you so much. Haribo.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay. It seems that the only people that come to my class are from the Middle East and New Jersey. Okay. Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Oh, someone from New York.
I was going to say, I was like, do I say hello? And then you said that. And I thought, well, now I have to say hello.
I have to say hello.
I have to represent Brooklyn.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Advaita.
Who's it?
Advaita.
Okay, Hare Bo. Wait, good. Nice.
Maharaj, Connecticut here.
Oh, okay, from Connecticut. Okay.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class.
Okay, Hare Bo. Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Okay, see you soon, Tota.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Jagannath Priya. Thank you for a class.
From
Gokarna. Still in Gokarna.
In India. I think you people that got quarantined in India are the luckiest people of all.
yeah, that's true.
How's it going over there?
It's very nice, very green because it's rain season now. But little bit too much rain.
You're not getting bored there with the quarantine?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
It's not boring. It's nice. It's okay. Less people, but nice weather, not hot, not cold, just wet.
Okay. Hare Bo, nice to see you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Eugenio and Gloria.
Okay, from Colombia. Yeah. Thank you. Nice to see both of you. Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Okay. Who else? Okay, we'll go for today. Thank you all so much for coming on. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.